listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to head to the Eastern District today to share some more conversations in our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents stories.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
I also want to let you know that you can join us for Share-a-thon April 30th, May 1st, and 2nd. That's next week. Share-a-thon, we've got lots of stories to share with you, and it's also the opportunity for you to join us and partner with KFUO and support KFUO this year. So today we head to the Eastern District of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Joining us today is President Reverend John Pingle. Welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's very nice to be here.
We are enjoying the series, Getting to Know the Council of Presidents, and you serve as the president of the Eastern District of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. We're going to talk about what that is in just a moment. Where is the Eastern District? I'm going to guess it's eastern side of the United
States.
East. East of something. It's east of something. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But before we do that, the important part of this series that we're enjoying is the lightning round. We get to ask you rapid fire questions about your favorite things. So thanks for agreeing to this. It's going to be fun. You ready?
No problem. It sounds
all right.
Good.
Favorite color?
Blue.
That is a popular one. Favorite cuisine?
I would say tavern food. Wings are big in Buffalo, you know. Wings are.
Okay. Favorite. All right. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Go ahead.
That's okay. Favorite book. And we know you love the Bible. We know you love the Book of Concord. So you can add to that list of favorites.
Yeah, well, I would just say in terms of category, I was thinking in terms of category. I like reading on, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, so I like reading on business and finances, and I also like biographies. So, you know, John Adams, great biography, I really enjoy. I'm not into fiction very much, so I would say biographies are my favorite kind of book.
Very interesting. Okay, this is a very important question. Favorite office supply?
I wasn't quite sure what you meant by that.
if you use it in an office.
Oh, I would say clips, those big clips, because I always wind up with piles of piffs and sets and things, and I have to clamp them together as I develop call lists.
Very good.
All right. Favorite dessert?
Pretty much any kind of pie. Not so much into cake. I like pie.
Pie is excellent. We love pie. We have a whole day about pie on the Coffee Hour.
Actually. We do.
We really do. We should invite you next time.
We actually have a local pastor who's one of the hosts on one of our programs here at KFUO, who's an official member of the American Pie Council.
No kidding.
You might need to join him in that venture and join the American
something?
Pie Council.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Favorite vacation destination?
Outer Banks of North Carolina. If you've ever been out there, pristine beaches. And I'm pretty much a beach guy. You know, any place that has a beach, I'm good with that. You know, so that's my favorite beach, I think, Outer Banks, North Carolina.
All right. This next question is like asking, which is your favorite child? Favorite hymn?
Oh, my. I'm kind of a traditional guy. I like the classics. A lot. I know I'm supposed to like all the German hymns, and I do. Those with, you know, but I kind of like a lot of the hymns that were written originally in English, mm-hmm. And you can kind of tell, like "Worship the King" and "Crown Him with Many Crowns" and "Rock of Ages." You know, those type of hymns I think are my favorites. I had an English grandmother too, and came over from England, so I think a lot of those good Anglican hymns that she used to sing are kind of dear to my heart. So,
yeah, nothing wrong with that. All right, last one. Favorite time of day.
Oh, I like early morning, but I like evening better. And I just love as the sun is going down. My wife and I will sit on the patio, and I have a chimenea, and I just love it as that sun is going down. That's my favorite time of day. And I'll hang out there long past. She's already in the house. I'll still be outside, just enjoying that summertime thing. Not in the winter in Buffalo, but the summer. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Winter. We have about 6 months where you're not you don't go outside very much at all. That would be weird, but
especially if you're close to the lake.
Oh yeah. My gosh, yes, yeah, yeah. We get dumped on. I live in the South Towns and Buffalo, and we get a lot of snow. Mm. A lot of snow.
I love
snow. So presently you live in the Buffalo, New York area. Tell us about where you grew up.
I grew up on Long Island, which, and if you've flown in and out of JFK Airport, International Airport, John F. Kennedy, stone's throw from there, just inside Nassau County, the south shore of Long Island. So it's kind of funny because I grew up on Long Island and then, of course, attended Bronxville and Concordia Bronxville, then out to St. Louis, and then was assigned to Western Pennsylvania. But I was there 27 years in my first call. Couple building programs later, moved to Buffalo. So I came back to New York, only the other end of the state. And I went to get my driver's license, and they asked, have you ever, held a New York State driver's license? I was like, yeah, 35 years ago. And so I was really interested to see if they still had a record of me, but they didn't. But I left New York and I came back to New York, but the other end, which when I grew up on Long Island, we didn't even know existed, because New York City environs, there's pretty much nothing west of the Hudson. That's pretty much the way it works there. So Buffalo is a great place. Love it.
Yeah. So you grew up on Long Island, went out through Bronxville to PA, came back to New York. What are some of those stories in there? Why did you end up at Bronxville, and what eventually got you to the seminary?
Well, if you grew up on the East Coast, pretty much it was a pipeline to Bronxville.
That's fair.
Yeah, and especially New York metropolitan area. I go back like five generations there. My dad drove a truck in New York City. My mom worked in the city, and you hop on the train. I could be in Manhattan in 20 minutes. Bronxville was part of that greater New York metropolitan area, and then it was kind of a pipeline to St. Louis, to the St. Louis Seminary. So I attended Bronxville, and it was still, when I matriculated, it was the program for seminarians, pre-seminary, still had you going to the senior college in Fort Wayne, and they made that change while I was there. So I was all ready to pack my bags to go to the senior college in Fort Wayne, and they said, no, you can stay here. So I stayed there. I stayed at Bronxville for the 4 years, and then of course went to the St. Louis Seminary. And my mom and dad were still living on Long Island, and I think that where your family is located, still, I think a lot of guys at least make the attempt to go back in the direction they came from if there's family back there. And so I said, "Oh, send me east." I vicared in Denver, Colorado, and that was a good experience. But I said, as long as you're asking. Send me east. So when I saw Pennsylvania, I thought, that's not too bad. But Pittsburgh, they sent me to the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
It's still 7 hours out of New York, but, you're getting a little closer. And so that's how I wound up in the Pittsburgh area.
Tell us more about that seminary formation. What was a favorite class from your time at Concordia Seminary?
I loved historical theology, and it didn't even matter what kind. David Daniels was a professor there, and I remember I took a course on Lutheranism in Eastern Europe, and another guys are going, I'm taking this because I needed a class, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is great. I just love this stuff. And Dr. Daniels was the kind of guy who could kind of walk back and forth and tell stories. That was his forte. But I always loved historical theology. I still do. I still do. When we're at Council of Presidents and Dr. Harrison speaks, he's quite the historian. And when he speaks to historical things, I just love it. That's one of my favorite things about being on COP. I love that historical aspect. So that's my answer there.
See, with your love of biographies, this is not surprising, knowing people and history and things.
Exactly. It kind of fits together. And I also enjoy like American history and not happy thing, but I'm also kind of a news junkie too. So that kind of fits. I have the news on almost constantly. My wife says, why don't you shut that off? And I always say, I have to stay informed. That's my answer.
So I'm curious now, do you have a favorite biography of someone in our Lutheran history?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I mean, the natural thing is to say Martin Luther, but I like, his story is an amazing story. And it kind of goes, and you could read volume after volume after volume after volume on that. You know, so many takes on his story. And when it's a new one, I'm happy to read it. But I think Reformation era figures. I'm also very interested in the English church, just with my grandma kind of coming out of that environment, and family history going back in that direction on my maternal side of the family, my mom's side. So I've always been interested in English history as well. So a little detour there.
We did a fun series with Dr. Cameron McKenzie on the English Reformation.
Yes, we did.
That was a lot of fun.
Really, yeah. The St. Catherine's faculty, of course, right across the river here. There's quite the English connection there.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of biographies, have you come across Portraits in American Lutheran Sacred Music by Benjamin Kolodziej yet? I think you would enjoy it.
I've heard of it, but I have not, you know,
there you go. Put that on your to-be-read list.
A fun series on that too with Benjamin Kolodziej. So biographies, lots of fun history.
We also love learning things.
That's great.
We also love church history.
That's cool.
So tell us more about your duties as district president. How long have you served as district president for the Eastern District?
I'm in my second term. So that's, you know, my second term began last September. So I'm into the first year of my second term. And there's a certain level of comfort in that because the learning curve is very steep the first term. You know, you're pretty much trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Now, it's busier than ever, but I have a pretty good sense of what it's about, what I need to be doing. I think coming into the district presidency, I never envisioned myself being in this position. I was 40 years in the parish before I was elected, 40 years. So most guys are going, oh, it's time to retire. and instead, they elected me to this office. But I think the 40 years prepared me. You know, I think there's something to be said, having been in the parish for that many years. And when I was addressing the convention, the convention where I was elected, I said, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I have to offer, but I can offer up 40 years of experience in the parish and about 18 years of circuit visitor in the Pittsburgh area. So those things, I think, helped to prepare me. But still, there are a lot of things you got to learn, you know, everything from, you know, constructing call lists and, you know, and there are all these meetings and all this paperwork. And, you know, you come in the morning, it's a stack of papers ready to sign. I wouldn't survive without my administrative assistant. And most DPs will tell you that we're really highly dependent on our staff. I'm blessed because I have a wonderful staff here at Eastern District. Just great people. And when you're friends, you know, you're busy as all get out, but when you have that kind of relationship, it lightens the burden somewhat. So we really, I think, to a person, we enjoy coming in to the office. And we're deployed. We're on the road a lot too, but when we're together, it's really a joy.
We're talking with the Reverend John Pingle, president of the Eastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have more to talk about after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50 plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
KFUO Radio is a ministry carried forward by listeners who love the gospel. Every day, people around the world hear Christ's word because this station is here. Share-a-thon is April 30th through May 2nd. Join us for 3 days of gratitude, stories, and opportunities to give as we look ahead to another year of Christ-centered proclamation. Learn more at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend John Pingle, president of the Eastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And speaking of the English District, what is the English District? What are you east of?
Well, yes, you mentioned English District.
Eastern District.
Which is non-geographical.
Did I say English? I meant Eastern.
But you know, that happens a lot.
I bet.
That happens a lot. In fact, I'm just going to, this is aside, when they listed the graduates of the St. Louis Seminary and they assigned my guys to the East English District. And I thought of calling them because they said, oh, these guys went to the East English District. No, I didn't. They went to the Eastern District. And I didn't bother calling, but yeah, Eastern District is definitely geographical. And the way I explain it is, it's pretty much all of New York west of the Hudson. So we go all the way back up to the edge of the Adirondacks and St. Lawrence Valley and Syracuse and Rochester and Buffalo. And then all that southern tier area, Utica, Rome, then down and basically all of Pennsylvania, except for one county, which I like to tease Bill Harmon, they stole from us, and I want it back. And but Pennsylvania is ours, including Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So everybody thinks of New York in terms of New York City. I think a lot of people think, oh, New York City. New York is a big state, and we have a large number of rural congregations. We have a lot of small towns in the southern tier of New York, but we also have the urban areas. So Eastern District is very diverse in terms of our ministry. If you think of the cities have all kinds of ethnic ministries going on, you know, but then we have the little towns where, you know, which have been in existence. And it is one of the original districts of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. You're probably aware of that. And the Eastern District actually used to cover the entire East Coast.
At one time, my.
We gave birth to New Jersey and Atlantic and all these other districts, but it was originally part of Eastern District. So we have quite the archives here in Buffalo, New York. And most people know about the old Buffalo Synod and Graybow. And that's all part of our history. The Saxon immigration, we have many churches that are 150 years old, older, and a large concentration of churches in Western New York. A lot of people, it was a large number of immigrants from Germany, and, some moved on, some went on to Michigan, some went on to Wisconsin and other places, but quite a few stayed here. So we have quite a few, a lot of history here, quite a few historic churches. That kind of gives an idea. Oh, we take in the western part of Maryland as well.
Oh,
so we have a little bit of Maryland. So that is ours as well.
So remind me again, what states are now? Granted, we know it's not an entire state, but what states are in at least some portion of a state?
The larger part of New York. Because Atlantic is simply goes up along Long Island and New York City and up along the Hudson. So we have pretty much the rest of it.
Okay.
So New York and then Pennsylvania and then the panhandle of Maryland. So it's actually a large geographic area. So I have to drive, for instance, from Buffalo to Philadelphia is probably about not even counting traffic, it's maybe 7.5 hours. Pittsburgh is about 3.5 hours. But if I head over towards Syracuse, Rome, Utica, those areas, and now starting to head east, that's, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 hours. It's not unusual for me to drive in a weekend. There are times I have driven 13 hours just trying to get between places. Yeah. It's a big geographical area.
Yeah.
Think about your predecessors, though. Thankfully, you have automobiles now. I mean, to ride that on horseback, that would be really tiring.
The stagecoach or whatever, the horses. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that is true. That is true. And my wife calls me the road warrior, and I don't mind driving. I really don't. It can get a little old, but I don't mind. I don't mind that too much.
Anything else unique about the Eastern District or within the Eastern District?
Well, I think as I've already mentioned, that the diversity is just the situations are so radically different from one corner of the district to another. All the way over to the New Jersey line, you know, we're really part of you wind up being part of the greater New York metropolitan area. And then, you know, the areas are just so unique. You know, we take in Niagara Falls, you know, and Pittsburgh is a great city, really, really developing, up and coming. Kiplinger, I think, there's my finance magazines, which I love to read. But Pittsburgh was named, I think, you know, best city for I think last year. Where, you know, it's very popular and it's growing and beautiful location. So I have to adjust because the culture is so radically different from one end to the other. It really is. I think that's a bit of a challenge. So, I think the history makes it rather unique too, in that we are part of the original. You know, there are a lot of those. I call it the DNA of the district, and the early German settlers in Niagara County, Erie County, they didn't always get along, and they had some significant differences. What I noticed when I was started visiting churches, there are many churches that are 2 and 3 and 4 miles apart. They're close together. Some of them are very large congregations, but every one of them has their own cemetery. And I was wondering, why would you have two cemeteries on one side of the road, the other side of the road? Well, they didn't want to be buried together. They were arguing among themselves, and they actually would excommunicate each other and restrict each other. You're not getting buried in our cemetery. They had to start another cemetery. So, of course, it all came together in the end. But there were some differences among them, some disagreements, and it was also they fought over farmland. The better farmland was along we have the Great Lakes here. You know, and that's another distinguishing mark. We have Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, which is a big, you know, a big deal, and all that, lots of fresh water, right? A tremendous amount of lakes, you know, creeks, rivers. But the better farmland was along the lake, along the lakefront. They got in some pretty significant arguments. We have a lot of wineries here, by the way. This is big wine country. Lake Erie and along Niagara frontier and the Finger Lakes of New York, a well-kept secret. If you've heard of the Finger Lakes, they're absolutely beautiful. And we have some, you know, Ithaca, New York, Cornell University, that's all part of the Eastern District. We have wonderful medical facilities. We have wonderful, sounds like I'm doing an advertisement or something, but yeah,
this is the travel guide to the Eastern District.
Yeah. But we do have, it's absolutely breathtaking. The Finger Lakes, Seneca Lake has like 30 wineries along the shoreline. Just incredible scenery. It's beautiful. Everybody thinks of Buffalo in the snow. You know, I think that's part of our PR problem. We have these 7 feet of snow in Buffalo. It's actually usually the south side of Buffalo gets it. And that's what people see in the news, you know. So I have people constantly calling me up and saying, you know, how are you? You know, are you surviving? But the district office is on the north side. We get 4 inches. And now where I live, I get 7 feet. But this, you know, yes, the winters get a little long. But you have to have a really good snowblower. That's for sure. You know, go out and get the biggest snowblower you can get. But the fall is just lovely here. You know, the summers and the fall. There are, every area has its charms, right? So I have to work hard at convincing people of that.
Snow can be fun too.
Yeah. It is really a good place. It's a good place.
It sounds like you really enjoy what you do. You love being in pastoral ministry and being in the Eastern District. Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Well, I tell people, and I've voiced this at our convention, that I'm really proud of being Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I always have been. I grew up in the English District, which is kind of funny, but and I remind the English District President of that all the time. You know, we're scripturally grounded. You know, our confessional stance, we keep the main thing. And we preach Christ crucified. The cross is at the center of everything we do. And unfortunately, that has become a rarity in American Protestantism. There is just, you know, it's just tragic. I listen to sermons and, you know, and I occasionally tune into church services, you know, various denominations. And I can only listen so long because there's a lot of Christless preaching going on. And I'm just so, so thankful to God that I'm part of a church body that knows what it believes, scripturally based, and is not afraid to proclaim Christ crucified and risen. So that's kind of the short answer. I think it's a wonderful place to be. I really do. We have our challenges, but I believe there's every reason to be optimistic. The Lord is with us. His Spirit attends the means of grace, and we should go forward with good courage. And that's what I tell our workers continually. Just keep moving forward. The Lord will bless. He'll open doors for us. And I see the miracles. I see wonderful ministry. There's wonderful ministry going on, even in some of our smallest congregations. There are these untold stories, small groups of people sometimes doing magnificent things. And I pay a lot of attention to our smaller congregations. I don't, large or small, I love them all, but one thing I'm very, very big on is not writing off any location. I think there is potential pretty much everywhere I go. And sometimes they just need a little encouragement, and I see miracles. So I'm greatly encouraged regarding the future of our district and of our synod.
We have just about a minute or two left. I want to go back to some of our questions from the lightning round, because you mentioned you travel around the district quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about favorite cuisine, you said tavern food. Okay, so who in your district has the best tavern food?
Oh, wow. You know, the South, well, I live in the South towns of Buffalo, but Buffalo, by the way, is a very food conscious town. Mm-hmm. it's quite amazing. And the clearest evidence of that is the fact that when I arrived in Buffalo, I had a 32-inch waist and I weighed 175 pounds. And I maxed out now at about 231, and now I'm backing off there. I'm not ashamed to say I'm doing Weight Watchers, and I am down 12 pounds and I'm heading down, but Buffalo is a great place to eat. Dine out. And I know tavern food. I like the tavern environment, relaxed. Sometimes there's a little entertainment going on. I just kind of like that informal atmosphere and just a lot of good eating. It's not the best kind of food for you. I mean, it's not the best for you and kind of off the diet. It's not allowed for a little while, but by golly, when I get where I want to be, I'm going to go out and celebrate, and I'm going to eat wings, and I'm going to eat all the good things that Buffalo area is known for. That's kind of the short answer. Burgers, wings, pizza, onion rings, all that good stuff.
That is great. Andy really loves the food. And since we had already mentioned Pie Day, I do want to know if you have a favorite kind of pie or a favorite pie recipe.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking that. I like pecan pie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's probably one of the worst for you, but I love it. But pretty much any pie. My wife is very, very good at making pies. And of course, we have apples. New York is apple territory, so we have a lot of great apple pies here. I'd say the pecan and the apple are probably top two.
There you go. Wings, pecan pie.
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Pastor Pingle will be happy. Our guest today, the Reverend John Pingle, president of the Eastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much for joining us for the series on the Coffee Hour. It's been fun.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very kind to invite me. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.